Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, this is Bitch Slap. I'm Rachel Fisher.
I'm Desi Jettikin.
And this is Melrose Place, Season 3, Episode 5.
Non-sexual healing.
Good one.
The worst Marvin Gaye song.
We ended on a cliffhanger last week.
Yes.
The last thing we saw was the pretty lady, the boat, exploding.
Mm.
And Jake was on the boat, as was the dead body of Palmer Woodward.
Yeah.
So, is Jake alive? Is he not alive?
We don't know.
We'll find out tonight on Melrose Place. Let's get started, Desi. We open with Kimberly and Michael lounging in bed in the beach house because despite everything that's happened, these two cannot stop fucking.
Right. Michael has his memory back. He's good to go. And Kimberly's still there.
Right. And the last time we saw them, they were up against the car in the garage.
That's right. Because she that's when she found out. And it was kind of like, what's she going to do?
And he was like, run me over.
Yeah.
He started that. He started people being horny and asking someone to run them over.
Yes. He inspired David Cronenberg.
No, I was thinking about people on Twitter.
Oh, I was like, thinking about Drive. Or not Drive.
Crash.
Crash. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mixture of both. Anyway, Kimberly is like still playing some kind of game with Michael, but we're really not sure what. If she's going to attempt to kill him again at some point, or if this was such a close call, almost getting caught, that she's just decided to give up and just be with him.
I mean, it's kind of a disaster for a relationship because it's like every time she gets mad at Michael, is it going to be like, she could kill me? Like, yeah. Literally.
Yeah. I think Michael is so narcissistic that he just doesn't even believe that anyone could succeed in offing him. I don't think he has that kind of fear.
Yeah.
And he's like bold and ballsy because she tells him, she's like, I want to get married again. And Michael's like, well, I need to divorce Sydney first. And he's,
I can't believe they're still married.
He's still married to Sydney. And she's like, you need to divorce Sydney, Michael. And he goes, yeah, I'm working on it.
He doesn't care.
And she tells him, she's like, I just want to move out of LA and we can just start a new life, Michael, and just be new people. He goes, yeah, I just got my memory back. I like who I am.
Right. Gone is the Michael who had no memory, who thought maybe he was trying to be a better person.
Right.
He's gone.
He remembers he's an asshole.
And he doesn't want to leave LA. She's like, apparently already applied for transfers.
This is new information.
Yeah.
He's like, not really in the mood to leave. So, yeah. And then he gets up, he gets in the shower, and right before he hops in, he says, oh, and yell when breakfast is ready. Will you, babe? Michael is back,
yeah.
Baby. At D&D, Amanda is sent FedEx a VHS tape in the mail.
This is scary.
Is this going to be a snuff film? Is it going to be revenge porn? We don't know. She immediately plays it, and it's a message from her father. And he's just like standing at the marina. I like that that's where he recorded it.
Who filmed it? Did he have a camcorder?
It was like Britney with the JVC camcorder. What was those big? It must have been a really chunky one.
Oh my God. With like the lens that kind of stuck out as if it was an official movie camera.
Yes. With the strap on the side.
There was something so funny about this. Cause I was like that, I guess that's the only way we could get this exposition out or like let Amanda know what happened in some way.
Or lead her to believe something that happened. So she freaks out extra.
Yeah.
Cause no one would have known what happened to Jake. They would have just thought he was like missing. Maybe they would have filed a missing persons report, but then he would have showed up eventually.
I mean, there's something kind of endearing about the fact that they still sort of prop up this idea that they're a father and daughter relationship. Like they're a loving father and daughter.
Even though he's a total psychopath.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta let my kid know. But I'm still gonna take some digs at her boyfriend.
He's like, hello, sweetie. It's your father, Palmer Woodward. I'm just sorry that it has to be this way, but I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to Mexico, and your loser of a boyfriend, Jake, is taking me. It's amazing what people will do for a little bit of cash.
I guess everyone has a price. I was like, why is he doing this?
He's got to get one last dig in. He has to smear Jake as someone who can be bought off, which we all know is not true. Jake doesn't accept a handout.
Never.
Jake has never accepted money under even completely reasonable circumstances.
Even if he would never cancel a photo shoot to take Palmer to Mexico, regardless of the price.
Jake is like the kind of person who enjoys being mad and put upon.
Jake would rather be poor than like take money for even a job he did do.
Oh,
that was legal.
Because what would he have to complain about?
Well, because remember before we knew Palmer was evil, he didn't even want to take a job because it seemed like it paid too much.
Right. Well, and because it was Amanda's father.
Yeah. It was just like, he won't even take a job when it's actually just a good job.
Yeah. So Amanda is like upset about this. Out at the marina, she rolls up. She like leaves D&D and just drives straight to Marina Del Rey.
Yes.
And the cops are there. And she's like, officers, what's going on? There used to be a boat here called the Pretty Lady, and it's not.
Yeah.
And she's like, my father, the fugitive.
That's what you guys call him.
He's still daddy to me.
Yeah.
He was on that boat. I just got a tape. I got a VHS tape. He's on that boat with my boyfriend, Jake. And now it's not here. So I guess they're halfway to Mexico. And they're like, actually, this boat exploded off the coast of Catalina.
Yeah. No survivors.
No survivors.
And she's remarkably not freaking out.
She's not even asking a follow-up question. Like, well, did you look? Is there a Coast Guard? Like, was there a body identified? Did you find bodies?
In general, this episode, I found Amanda to be very unemotional in the most emotional situations. I mean, it was a choice, I guess.
It was a choice, but she did have an incredible moment with Allison in the courtyard, which we'll get to.
Yes.
That's when her emotions came out. That's where she channeled them.
Only her hatred for Allison gets her revved up.
At the hospital, Michael terrorizes Matt a little bit. He like ambushes Matt in the hallway and he's like, hey, Matt, guess what? I got my memory back.
Matt's like,
ugh. Matt's like, oh, hello, Michael. And he's like, yeah, everything's great. I'm with Kimberly, you know, brand new, fresh start. And he's like, Michael, you know, she tried to kill you, right?
I like when Michael describes his great life as I'm in Fat City. I was like, I've never heard that expression before. I don't think
I've never heard that either. Matt is like, Michael, if you remember everything, then that means you remember that it was Kimberly that tried to kill you. And he laughs.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what, Matt? Maybe you should just keep your nose out of everyone else's business.
I like that he adds, I don't judge your lifestyle.
Right. Because he's got to get that homophobic dig in with Matt.
Right. Always. As if the two things are equivalent, being gay and being sociopaths together, like with someone who tried to kill you. Yeah. It's just another alternative lifestyle.
Back at D&D, Billy and Allison have a new assistant named Elizabeth Wyatt.
Now, is she both of their assistants or just Billy's?
Both of their assistants.
Okay. So they're like a team. He's the copywriter. She's the ad person, the point person. And then this is their assistant.
Yes.
Okay.
And look, we all know why Allison did this. We all know why Allison
did. Amanda.
I mean, Amanda. We all know why Amanda didn't hire some dumpy lady to be their assistant. Right. We all know why she didn't hire a man to be the assistant. She hired this lady who looks suspiciously like Allison.
It's a total lookalike, down to the hair.
The hair, the windswept, pushed back, sprayed hair.
Yes.
And she introduces herself to Billy, and she knows him from Escapade magazine. Not that she worked there, but she's like one of the 10 readers of Escapade.
This was her greatest acting moment in the episode when she's like, oh, I love Escapade magazine.
She's like, I loved your dating service article.
And you looked good. Because was he in the magazine, I guess?
I guess they've had like his little, like how they do like the New Yorker. Or I guess that's like a drawing. But like, you know, in like articles, sometimes they'll have like a little portrait.
I think though, because he was part of the story, maybe they had actual pictures of him right?
They probably had like the journalist photo of him.
Yeah. Or even more, like I'm on the dating app or whatever website.
Yeah.
Him on the computer.
Yeah, he's on the computer.
Typing.
So Billy's like, oh, you know,
he's like, if you're new to LA, I don't know if you knew this, but if your name begins with a vowel, it's a free lunch.
That's just so cringe.
And she's like, ooh, she's like googly-eyed.
No, Billy. She's into it. She's like, I'm going to fuck my boss. Like day one, minute one.
Allison immediately interrupts. Like she beelines for them. As soon as she sees Billy talking to some blonde lady,
yeah,
she beelines. And she's like, Billy, can I talk to you for a second? And she's like, you're flirting with everyone in the office.
She doesn't know how to play it cool at all. Because I would never give him the satisfaction that I was jealous.
No, she needs to start flirting with someone in front of him. That's what she needs to do.
Yeah, and not say a fucking word.
She doesn't know how to be petty.
No.
She also dunks on him for the line about giving her a free lunch. She says, you used that line on me.
And that's such an embarrassing admission.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you, that worked. It's so dumb.
To be fair to Allison, this is very inappropriate. Also, literally, you haven't even gotten a chance to know her. You haven't given it even a week. This lady just got hired and he's immediately hitting on her. He should be fired for this.
No, it's so inappropriate.
At Jane Mancini Designs, Sydney's at work at the sewing machine and Michael shows up. And Jane's like, Michael, what are you doing here?
He's in like a full suit.
Yeah.
Like businessman.
He means business.
I'm here. This is my business.
And he's like, I need to talk to my wife. Mm. You know, Sydney, that wife. And Sydney goes, looks like the sleazebag Hall of Fame is missing a member. And he goes, look, Sid, I want a divorce. And she's like, do the words go to hell mean anything to you? And then Jane's like, Michael, if you want a divorce, well, we're going to have to think about that and get back to you.
Yeah.
Let you know what we want.
Yeah. She's like, I'm scheming.
Because Jane knows that she needs to hold Sydney's hand through this. She knows that Sydney is not going to be able to figure out to negotiate a proper settlement.
I mean, it's funny that she's even gets a settlement. Right? Because how long were they married?
I mean, they've been married.
I guess.
But they weren't together.
Yeah.
They were separated.
Yeah, whatever. She gets some kind of settlement, I guess.
So that night, Joe goes to Amanda's and she just lets herself in because she's not answering the door.
Yeah.
And Joe's wearing a real dumpy outfit.
She had some real losers this episode.
This episode was full of L's.
Yeah.
She is wearing an awful light denim jumper over a coral-colored turtleneck.
She's in full-on maternity mode.
This is the kind of denim jumper that, like, this was, like, the only options for maternity wear in the 90s.
Yes.
This is before clothing makers realized that women who are pregnant and moms can still be sexy and alluring.
Yeah, and that there was money to be made.
And there's money to be made in flattering maternity wear. Instead, it's like, look, this is what we were saying to pregnant women back then. The jig is up. You're a mom now. You need to wear dumpy clothes.
Put some fabric on you. Just a swath of fabric.
Just drape it on your fat ass.
Wrap it around your belly.
Waddle into your ex-boyfriend's current girlfriend's apartment and beg for something.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's like, Amanda, the water's brown in my apartment.
I love that Amanda, low-key storyline is that Amanda is a slumlord.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I love that. That is one of the, like, undercurrents of this whole series. And she's like, call the plumber yourself, Joe. I don't care.
Here's his number.
She's
put
like,
put it on my bill.
Amanda, that's not my job. You're the landlord.
And she, I mean, I had to say, though, that is a pretty good get from a landlord just to get the number to get something done and they're going to pay for it. Because sometimes you can't even get that.
Yeah, that's true. Joe is concerned because Amanda is like not just being a bitch, but she's clearly being a sad bitch.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And Amanda's like, tells her that her dad got on Jake's boat to leave the country and then the boat blew up.
I love how she lays this information onto Joe as if Joe has no emotional connection to the story.
Right. Like she's an impartial person in this.
You know, my boyfriend who used to be, it's like that was her boyfriend too.
She didn't have any care or consideration.
No, she just laid it out.
She's like, you know, Jake Hansen, he exploded. He's gone.
It was so funny.
She's like, oh, and don't tell anyone about this. I need to deal with this in the morning. Mm. The next morning, Chris Marchette, Jane's sleazy Australian boyfriend, stops by her apartment and he's like, g'day, I want breakfast.
Get some Vegemite.
He's hungry.
Yeah.
He wants to eat something and he goes into her apartment and Sydney's in her robe and he's like, hello, Sydney. And she's like, hi.
Yeah.
She knows this guy's a fucking freak.
Yeah, but she can't say anything.
She's cold to him. She ignores him and she tells Jane, she's like, I want to talk about the divorce. And then Chris, of course, interjects. And he actually makes a good point. He actually is very helpful in this situation. Yeah. He suggests that Sydney should ask for Michael's interest in the business so that she could sell it back to Jane. So Jane could have full control of her company again.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
And Sydney agrees because she's like, how can I ever repay you, Jane? I mean, God, golly, I've just been such a shit.
Seems like this plan's going to go well.
Leave it up to Sydney to execute this.
We know she's always very loyal to Jane.
And nothing's ever going to change at the drop of a hat. Like the wind isn't going to blow.
No.
And her actions are going to change.
Absolutely.
Chris and Jane leave to go to breakfast. And look, here we go. Immediately, Sydney sits down, picks up the cordless phone, and calls Michael.
Hi, Michael. Hi. It's just like
she can't help herself.
She cannot resist him.
She's like, hi, Michael. And she's like, I decided what I want for the divorce. And he's like, great. And she's like, why don't you why don't you meet me for dinner? And he's like, okay. And make it someplace expensive.
Yeah, she's going to get dressed up.
Mm. Allison stops Amanda on her way out the door. And Amanda's like, can it wait? And Allison is like, no, it can't. And she's like, what is it? And then this is when Allison said, Billy's desk is too close to mine.
Ugh, everyone's bugging Amanda with their silly problems.
And Allison says, and Amanda says, Billy's desk is a big problem for you? Hmm. Let's compare problems, shall we? Well, Jake exploded.
She really has the trump card here, I have to say.
She got Allison so bad in this. And like, there's nothing Allison can even say to this. And she's humiliated again.
The minute Amanda said, let's compare problems, Allison should have known. She should have known.
That no matter what it was going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
And not, Billy's desk is too close to mine.
Ugh, kindergarten stuff.
The way she came at it, the way she approached this issue, which is an issue, I understand that. That's a fair thing to be like, can we move my ex-fiance's desk away from mine?
But there is something just annoying. Like, Amanda did have to expect what the little stunt she pulled hiring Billy was going to lead to stuff like this.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
It's like, of course.
But yeah, it's like, take care of this stuff yourself, Allison. It's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. She should have approached Amanda at work and said like, hey, I know it's not the most pressing thing at the office, but like, I was wondering if I could like switch places with Wayne or whoever else at the office.
There are certain people I think you don't ever approach with petty things until you know where they're at. Do you know what I mean?
Amanda's that bitch.
Absolutely.
At D&D, Billy is wearing a full denim outfit at work.
Inappropriate.
This is he should be fired.
He's in Century City. This is business town, wherever they are.
Business attire.
Yeah.
Or Miracle Mile.
Yeah.
They're in a business area.
Everyone's wearing suits or pants with a tie and dress shirt. Like,
he's wearing jeans, very tight jeans.
Too tight.
As evidenced by the way that he's sitting, which is with one leg like up on his chair so that his ball sack is like free, bulging against these jeans.
This is for Elizabeth.
He's like dick out, balls out, jeans tight.
He's trying to stretch it out a bit with his knee up.
He's got some breathing room. Rock hard dick at the office wearing these pants.
Yeah. It's inappropriate.
It's chafing a little bit because I'm sure when you get an erection and you're wearing this kind of stiff denim, I don't know, does that like chafe a little bit? Possibly.
If you're going commando, right?
And Billy might, because he probably forgot how to do laundry since Allison left. He doesn't know how to do laundry.
Those jeans are so tight, he didn't have room for underwear, you know?
He didn't.
He wouldn't have been able to button them.
I bet these are new jeans that he bought. Because usually he wears more baggy if he's going casual.
Right. Or it's not a Billy jean, like a typical Billy jean.
I think he is like, new life? Noah Allison?
Yeah.
I need to go to Contempo Casual.
Yeah.
Get some new jeans. Need to go to French Connection.
He's trying to go young. He's at the ripe old age of 28 or whatever he is.
He's like 26.
He's trying to be like 24. he's trying to young down.
I don't know what he's doing, but let's also not neglect the inappropriate shirt he was wearing at the office, which was a denim shirt.
It's crazy.
This is not a advertising executive office look.
Even if you're wearing jeans, they'd still be wearing the business shirt with a tie. Like, that's a look that people did.
That is a look people did. I don't like that look.
Me either.
But it
was there.
It's the Seinfeld look. It was very popular back then.
Yeah. Yeah. You wear it with your pleated denim.
You Yeah, you wear like the jeans with the business shirt and the blazer on top. Not a look I love. To top off this hideous look, Billy is wearing one of those awful patterned maroon ties.
Oh God.
That are reminiscent of his of the sheets. Didn't Jane and Michael, when they were married, have those awful sheets?
Yes. It's kind of abstract, but like 90s abstract.
And geometric.
Yeah.
But like a bad maroon color.
That maroon. It was like with a navy and a white or something.
It was not good. It was not a good look at all.
No, he looks terrible.
And he really thinks that this is like, he's like really hitting it off with Elizabeth. So he tells Elizabeth about Jake being missing. Again, another inappropriate conversation to talk to your subordinate about. She doesn't need to know this kind of personal information.
He is so inappropriate at work. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. She touches his hand and she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Billy, what happens when this woman files a sexual harassment lawsuit?
He's already had one. Oh no, the one, did he have one?
No, but he wanted to file one against his boss.
His boss.
Because he got sexually harassed.
He got sexually harassed.
See, he should know better. He's been sexually harassed by a subordinate.
Here's Billy's thinking.
I mean, by a boss.
He's, in his mind, this is how dated this is. In his mind, it doesn't count if they're into it.
Yeah, he doesn't see that it's, regardless of if she's hot for him, it's still a power imbalance and it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
And it's work. It's not the time
right,
or the
place. Right, because he's like, I didn't want my boss. She wants me. It's fine.
What can I do?
What can I do? We're both into each other.
So Allison interrupts and she's like, Billy. And he's like,
Allison, Jake was on the boat and he exploded.
Yeah. They're also cavalier about Jake exploding.
You know, nobody starts crying. Everyone's like, oh my, they're just like, oh no.
Yeah. And Allison is on, she's on top of Billy. Every glance, every touch, every word. Like she's on it. She's not getting anything done at work.
No.
This is the latter day equivalent of like stalking someone's social media, like nonstop. Like,
and you're totally distracted.
Yeah, it's all you can do. She's just looking, thinking.
And so Elizabeth's like, oh, did you know him too? And she's like, yeah, I knew him.
She's so bitchy.
Anyway, let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Desi, guess where Michael and Sydney are going out to dinner?
I did write it down.
They're back at Montezino's.
Montezino's, right.
This is every time there's a fancy restaurant scene or a date night.
Yeah.
They go to Montezino's.
Mm. They love it there.
They love it. I need to do some investigation on Montezino's. I feel like I did maybe in the first season, but I need to do some further investigation to determine if this was a real restaurant in Los Angeles and what kind of food they served.
This is the type of restaurant where you can get a plate of like spinach fettuccine with sliced grilled chicken breast on top.
And this is the type of restaurant where they were super into a balsamic glaze. Like, yes. like a balsamic reduction.
Balsamic had just dropped.
Mm. It was so hot. It was all about the, you know, you could get your warm goat cheese salad with a balsamic vinaigrette glaze.
And like a little nice drizzle zag.
It's a zigzag.
On the plate. It's never enough.
A zigzag drizzle. The fettuccine. I like a fettuccine spinach. I like a spinach pasta.
I don't mind a spinach pasta, but I never liked it when they had that breast of chicken just sliced right on top of a pasta. I was like, it needs to go together. Mix it up.
I realize this is an unpopular opinion, but I'm not really into chicken with pasta. And I know that's very unpopular.
It is? Is that like a common chicken with pasta?
I mean, yeah, people make chicken Alfredo and chicken fettuccine.
I guess it's added. Like, it seems like an chicken. Olive Garden thing, though. Like, do people eat that at home? Sorry.
Yes, I think people, really? It's like a dinner. It's like an easy dinner people make.
I guess it's like you get your protein. It's under the easy dinner category for sure. Like, here you go, one pot meal or whatever.
Absolutely.
I don't typically eat chicken with pasta. It's not something I wouldn't eat if it was good. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like, it's not authentic Italian. Because does Italian food ever have any chicken pasta dishes? I don't think so.
Met the Olive Garden.
Yeah. Well, I said authentic. I feel like I've only had like chicken parm with a side of spaghetti, but it's separate. Like,
it's a separate thing for sure. Anyway, but you can get grilled chicken on your spinach fettuccine at Montezino's for sure.
Absolutely. With like one sad cherry tomato as a garnish.
Yes. Yes. So they're having dinner and Michael is like, you know, Sid, it's been my curse that I love two women.
He's on one. Mm. He's back.
He is.
And he is in rare form with Sydney because he's got some balls.
He has some serious balls. He's like, just take the $5,000.
But he knows Sydney. Like, I will say, he's on to her and she never changes.
But she still hasn't figured out that he's smarter than her. And
why?
He's more devious than her and he's always one step ahead of her.
Look,
she hasn't gotten it yet.
You can never be in a position where you're too emotional with someone who's this psychotic.
Because he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
And she still doesn't get that he doesn't love her.
It's out of control how she does. This is the person you shake, you kick, this friend. You're like, no, stop it.
It is Charlie Brown with the football every time with Sydney and Michael.
And it's like, every episode that goes by where she falls for him is like, it's harder and harder to take. Cause it's like, come on.
Well, this was one of her most pathetic showings in this episode.
She
dropped the ball.
She did not even try.
She didn't. She's like, Michael, I think it's outrageous that you're staying with Kimberly. She tried to kill you. He's like, what are you going to do? You know,
Kimberly came first.
I was dating her first, Sid. And he's like, and you know, seems to me that you're just as nuts as she is. So,
I mean, he got a point there.
And he's like, you know, and besides, if we go to court, you'd probably not get anything. And she's like, well, I don't want a divorce. I just want you.
Mm.
And he's like, just take the money, Sid. And she gets upset. She's like, well, that's too bad, Michael, because I want your share of the business, and you have until tomorrow, or I'll sic my lawyer on you. I love LA.
Yeah, what does that mean? Lawyers?
Because she's like, California law, they favor the wife. That's what she's saying.
Now,
him.
This is what I am confused about. I thought California was like, no, like you could just file and get a divorce. Like the other person didn't have to agree. I guess if there's a settlement.
I have no clue.
Yeah. But he's yeah. He's just, you can't beat him.
You cannot beat him.
And he has Michael logic.
Right. Even like, Kimberly couldn't beat him.
No, and Kimberly's actually smart.
She's actually smarter than Michael.
Yeah, she's smarter than Michael, but once again, they're too dickmatized by him.
Yeah.
I need to know what's going on there.
We've said this. I think he probably fucks really well. And it's definitely the kind of sex where you probably feel a little disgusting afterwards.
But he's like, you liked it, babe, when it was happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, why did I do that?
Like, you know it was good and you know you're going to go back because it was good, but it was that kind of like, ugh, I need a shower.
You don't want to think about it in your waking hours.
No.
Like, it's only during it when it's good.
And you, yeah, you feel guilty for liking it so much.
Yeah, and you're like, I can't even think about it.
Because he's so sleazy.
He's so sleazy.
But he does things to you.
Because he doesn't give a shit. He'll do anything.
He'll do anything.
Yeah.
Jane is making out with Chris on the couch, and she's like, oh, Chris.
Ugh, it's so, there's too many sounds.
I love this in relationship.
This make out.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like, why are they mic'd up?
there was always a lot of wet kisses happening in the 90s in shows.
This was like very French kissing.
French kissing was so big.
They were like letting it be known. Because we were getting it was like a minute long shot of them just swapping saliva.
Do kids still say French kissing? Because that's something you say when you're a kid.
I don't know, but that was such a big term for me.
Like, me too.
French kissing.
But like as a kid.
No, yeah, exactly. You don't say it as an adult.
No.
But
they were French kissing.
Yeah. I would love to know the origin of that. It's so funny.
Because the French always get something that's like, it describes something that's like decadent or horny.
Yes.
Like if over it's the a top. French, some, like French toast, that's decadent.
Yeah.
So Jane is like, oh, Chris. And he's like, I love your talent.
He's just so, there's zero charisma with him. Like, I don't get it.
Like, he's physically attractive, but he's not attractive.
His personality is nothing.
It's so bland. He's super horny for her talent and her potential. And then he's like, I gotta go, babe.
And she's like, no fuck?
Yeah.
Like, even Jane, virginal Jane, is like, come on, dude. Like, stick it in me.
She sighs.
Get your dick wet. Let's go. She's getting dirty.
That night, we see the Coast Guard is out looking for Jake. And what do you know? They find Jake hanging on to a piece of debris.
He's like Titanic.
How many days has it been that he's been
in the water? That's what I was trying to figure out.
It's been like 3 days at least. At least.
I was like, maybe 2.5. Like, I was like trying to figure out like the days and I couldn't.
He'd be dead.
Because he'd be in the sun all day too. And when we see him, it's like, he's not sunburned.
No.
You would be really sunburned and chapped and like.
He's just like, ugh. He's like a little tired and a little dirty.
And he's got like three cuts. Like three little cuts on his cheek.
Perfect little cuts.
I was like, they act like it's been 12 hours.
No. It has been like at least 48 hours that he's been in scalding temperatures during the day in the sun and freezing temperatures at night.
And he's just been able to hang on to this whatever piece of the boat.
This is Pacific water, which is cold.
Yeah.
So it is cold at night.
It doesn't even matter if you're able to hold on. Eventually you would like faint or go into some kind of hypothermia. Like,
he would have frozen or something.
Yeah. His toes didn't even get bit off.
He didn't even get a shark didn't even get to him. There's sharks in the water.
We don't get any harrowing details. Nothing.
He's just hanging on and they pull him up. They're like, oh, great. Back at Melrose, Matt, Billy, and Allison and Joe are sitting around the patio table talking about Amanda and Jake. But who gives a shit? Because Jake strolls in just like nothing's happened.
He would be hospitalized
for at least a week
if he was in the water an amount of time.
He shows up, he's got like a dirt smudge on his shirt. He's like still a little damp.
And he's like, hey guys, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it's just like,
no, wait a minute, you were in the water. He'd be in the hospital for like a week.
Someone would be picking him up at the very least. Like, yeah. Dude, he's not. How did he get home?
Why is he not hooked up to IVs right now? Why is he not being treated for hypothermia
or dehydration? Like anything. At the very least, something.
Something.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk about it. And they're like, Jake. Yeah, Joe's like, Jake. And he goes up to Amanda's, and she's thrilled to see him.
But not that thrilled.
She's not like, oh my God. She's
like, if you thought someone died and they showed up on your door, wouldn't you be like, and it was someone you loved,
right?
Cry immediately or be like freaking out, hugging them, something.
Shaking.
I just like, everyone was kind of like, oh my God, Jake, hey. Yeah. It's like he didn't come home one night.
Yeah.
Because he was out partying. Like
that's literally the reaction. She's like, oh, Jake.
You're okay. I'm so happy. It's like, sorry. Like, what?
And he tells her, he's like, your dad's dead.
Yeah. He gives her the scoop of what really happened. And she's kind of like, okay. I mean, that's the life. Yeah.
The next morning, Jane tells Sydney, she's like, we need to hire a lawyer, Sydney. And Sydney's like, Jane, I just want to handle this myself. I got it.
And Sydney, you know Sydney got it because she has very professional woman hair.
Yes.
This hair was high as hell.
Yeah.
I've never seen Sydney with this hairstyle. It was crazy.
I loved it. She's got like a fresh blowout happening.
Yeah. And Jane's is pulled back into a little scrunchie. She's growing that hair out. So it's pulled back into the world's smallest ponytail.
Right.
It's like an inch.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So Jane is skeptical about this for good reason. And she's like, Sydney, you have one more day and then I'm hiring a lawyer. And she heads off for work.
And Sydney's also like, let's face it. I know Michael better than you, Jane. Like,
right.
She's like, why does Jane should have immediately shut this down. I blame Jane.
I blame Jane for this too, even though it's unclear what exactly Jane would have even been able to do in this situation.
I agree, because technically Jane, it's like she's trying to get something here and maybe it'll happen.
Right.
But ultimately she's not really affected by this, right? Like in a way.
Well, it doesn't change anything as it is.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like, it would be cool if it happened.
It would be the way to right this wrong.
Yes.
And to get things set straight.
But it's more, once again, Sydney picking Michael over her kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, yeah, there really isn't much Jane can do, because then I guess on another hand, if she, like, imagine she had said what we all wanted to say to Sydney, which is like, Sydney, you're being an idiot. You're being so short-sighted. Michael doesn't give a fuck about you no matter what he says. He's going to screw you over. And like, don't cry to me and don't make me say I told you so.
Right. Like, Sydney would be like, you're just jealous.
Yeah.
You're just jealous.
You're just jealous, Jane.
As if Jane couldn't get Michael back at the drop of a hat. Like, Jane could easily beat all of those girls.
We all know that's who he really wants at the end of the day.
Oh, my God.
So as soon as Jane leaves, Sydney calls the hospital. And she's like, I want an answer, Michael. And he goes,
yeah, I got the papers all drawn up, Sid. Yeah. I have an idea. Let's meet somewhere. Let's meet at the Chateau de Ville on Doheny.
The Chateau de Ville. The Chateau CC de Ville.
So they're going to meet at this hotel, which sounds very fancy, to sign these papers. Like, she doesn't think there's anything weird about this. That he's like, let's meet somewhere private.
At a hotel.
Mm. But she can't resist going somewhere private.
She's
with
like,
Michael.
Michael wants to meet me. It's just like...
Amanda and Jake go to the morgue to identify her dad.
And they really didn't spend too much money on this set.
No, they did not. And we don't even get to see his bloated body.
I know. I kind of wanted to for some sick reason.
Well, I think because nowadays we're so used to seeing dead bodies on TV, like they show at the morgue what they look like. But the coroner did say like his body would be gnarly.
Yeah. You know how Jake only had 3 scratches? Well, your dad's time in the water wasn't as kind.
Yeah, exactly. Later at Shooters, Joe and Allison are talking having just another embarrassing conversation. These are the two losers of the apartment complex.
Jesus Christ, they bring out the loser in each other.
It's
like
so embarrassing.
I would never want these conversations filmed.
And they both of them co-sign each other's loserdom.
Yes.
Joe is like, I'm trying to be cool about this. And Allison's like, cool isn't in your repertoire, Joe.
Which was crazy because I was like, that literally was her repertoire.
It used
was
to be
only
her.
Cool. Yeah.
What happened to Joe?
She became friends with Allison. She became friends with Allison.
And her stock plummeted.
I see. I mean, yes.
Allison tells Joe that she needs to talk to Jake. Allison just gives bad advice.
Yeah.
And then Billy and Elizabeth walk through the door. And Allison's like, I can't believe this.
Yeah, now I gotta go make a fool of myself.
She grabs Billy and she's like, Billy, I need to talk to you in private. And she's like, what are you, dating her now?
Yeah.
And he's like,
well, we're dating other people, aren't we?
He's still bitter.
Yeah, he's still mad about this. And she's like, Billy, this is completely unprofessional. And she says, and he says,
the whole reason I ended up at D&D was because I was trying to help you.
Yeah, he's so, they're both embarrassing.
And he's like, I'm not going to stop seeing her. And she's like, what do you see in her anyway? And then he says, she's you 2 years ago.
This was such a burn.
This was horrible. This was a horrible thing to say. It is pretty disgusting. I still think Billy ultimately is in the wrong for abandoning Allison after she found out she was molested by her dad and not giving her enough time to get therapy and process this.
Oh, absolutely. He's in the wrong, and I can understand him being hurt, but don't take it out on Allison. Just stay away from her if that's how you feel.
If you can't handle this and you're, I just feel like, Billy, did you know that when you guys were going to get married till death do us part, for better or for worse, this is the for worse right now. And you're not supporting her through this.
Well, it also low key triggers that thought about how certain men want to date younger because it's like no baggage.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, right. It's so mean.
It's so mean. It's such a mean thing to say she's you 2 years ago, like when you didn't have any problems.
Or we didn't know. It was, you were hiding them. And yeah. I liked it better.
I didn't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to see you as a complex person. Jake and Amanda return home and they're on the couch and Amanda's obviously horny, but she's like bummed out horny.
You knew she was horny when she put her legs in his lap.
Yeah, that's a classic move.
Because they were up on the couch, and then at some point she just casually moves them down, and he doesn't do anything. So she knew, she was like, see? Like, that's the testing of the water.
She's going to start rubbing that foot on his crotch, testing it out. And she's in that mode where she's like, I need a friend right now.
She wants to trauma bond with Jake.
Yeah. And he's not into it. They start kissing, but he pulls away and he's like, it's not a good time right now.
Yeah.
And she's like, I need you. And he's like, I can't just turn it on and off, Amanda.
Right. He needs some alone time. He said this last episode.
And she's like begging him. This is a pathetic display.
Yeah. But she can get away with it because her dad just died. It's like the only time.
She can get away with it because it is Amanda, but it is... It did make me sad. And I mean, I do understand. It's Jake. She's like traumatized. She wants to like have sex right now.
I feel like you try, and then once he rebuffs it, you can't go. You got to stop.
Have some dignity.
Yes.
Amanda. And he's like, I just need to be alone. And she's like, you abandoned me.
He doesn't think so.
No one's asking Jake like, hey, are you injured? Do you need to like go see a doctor?
She's like, fuck me. I don't care if it makes you sick.
He's going to throw up if he has sex right now.
He doesn't need to be rocking.
He's been swallowing seawater for 3 days straight.
No, she and her accusation of abandonment is clearly something that would be all wrapped up if he fucked her. So it's really just about the sex.
Of course. Sydney shows up to meet Michael at this Chateau de Ville, which they did not have a budget to film at a nice place because this looked like a dumpy motel.
This was where Michael lived when he was kicked out of the house.
Yes. Yes. This
looks the same room.
It was a sad, I'm separated from my wife.
Right. There was like that ugly bedspread.
Ugh.
It was terrible.
It was a bad room. And he sits her down on the bed and he's like, "Look, Sid, I got to admit something. I'm afraid of Kimberly. And I just got to play it cool until she trusts me again." He gives her a whole load of bullshit.
He wants to be with her.
He just needs some time to get Kimberly to trust him again so then he can get rid of her once and for all.
He's such a scumbag.
He's got these papers. He's like, "I just need you to sign the papers. That's all." And he starts kissing her neck, and she's getting real horny. And she just grabs a pen. She doesn't even read the papers, and she scribbles her signature.
A good rule of thumb is if someone's making out with you and also at the same time putting a pen in your hand to sign something, it's probably a scam.
They're probably not there to hook up with you.
No, they're tricking you.
This is like so dumb. I'm so furious with Sydney.
I was literally screaming at the television. I was like, she cannot. I kept hoping that she wrote fuck off or something like that. Like, I couldn't remember what happened, but I was like, maybe she writes something like see you in court or something.
That would have been the cool move.
But no, she just signed. And part of me was like, can't you take back your signature? Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like verified or like whatever, notarized.
That's true.
But I know it's a show, so we can't bring in details.
She can't take this signature back, does he? He starts laughing as soon as she signs the papers. And he's like, "Oh, thanks, baby. I appreciate it. You just relinquished all your rights."
With just one signature.
That's it.
Yeah, that's all it takes. And it can happen to anyone.
Right. And she's like, "How could you do this to me?" And he's like, he pulls out a wad of cash. He's like, "Here's $5,000. And then he goes, "Taking money for not having sex. New low, don't you think?"
I love, you know, a good line's about to come when Michael says,
Yeah.
he's like, "I just thought of something."
That's really going to hurt.
It's really hurtful and clever.
If there's one thing Michael's going to do, he's going to be a little homophobic to get you, or he's going to shame you about that you used to be a sex worker.
Oh, he'll always go for the low blow.
Those are his two go-tos.
Yeah, he has no shame.
And Sydney is like, "Oh my God, she can't believe it.
She got conned by her soulmate.
She can't believe this is happening." And as he leaves and she's sitting on the bed and she goes, "I swear to God, Michael, I'm going to make you suffer."
It's like, we've been here before, Sydney.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to...
I wish.
We want to see it.
I want to see a battle of Michael and Sydney.
Now that think about it, I don't even remember a time when Michael ever gets got.
No, that's the whole thing. This show, if you had to sum it up, it's like, this guy gets away with everything. Like Michael. That's the overriding theme.
He gets away with everything.
Everyone else has to suffer through things, and Michael just remains untouched.
Even Cersei Lannister gets got once when she gets shamed.
Right. That's why he's the ultimate villain.
But he never gets got, I don't think. I don't remember.
Because he like buys his own bullshit. Like, he believes it about him. Every other, like, Cersei had doubts. Michael doesn't have any doubts.
Back at Jane Mancini Designs, she's wearing a very cute little outfit. She's got like a black halter top and one of those weird 90s hats that kind of looks like something you might wear in a kitchen, but it's kind of like a backwards. It's, I don't know. It's like one of those weird little caps.
Yeah.
I can't really, I took a picture of
it. It's like Kangol-ish, but for like women.
But
it's, I can't explain it, but it has some elements of a beret and like.
It's kind of Kangol-esque.
The fabric though is different.
It's like a thinner fabric.
It's cute.
I need to know more, but I just think the whole look is cute.
Yeah, she looks cute.
And she's like, Sydney, what happened with Michael? And Sydney's like, well, he's calling his lawyer and I'm calling mine.
I love when Sydney inexplicably lies about something that will very soon come out. Like, she's just trying to buy time, I guess.
Yeah. And she tells Jane, she's like, yeah, yeah, it went perfect. He's agreeing to everything. And Jane believes it. She's like, that's great.
Great. Then 12 more hours till I call the lawyer. Like,
Joe goes to Jake's apartment wearing a dumpy looking dress.
This was great because she had the classic 90s accessory of the little cincher in the back.
Oh my God. Yes.
With the little clips.
The metal clip with the little elastic.
It's like a 3-inch
yes.
strip of elastic to cinch your baby doll. It's a must. I actually want one of those.
I had dresses that had that little cincher on it. Oh my God. What a throwback.
No, it was so great. And it's like somehow it still managed to be dumpy.
She made this look dumpy, and here's why she made it dumpy. Because she's wearing a classic mid-90s look, which was the t-shirt underneath the strappy baby doll dress. That is a classic look.
Absolutely.
It is like a uniform. But she's not wearing a baby tee, because you would wear a baby tee under that or a tight fitting long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
She's wearing a like unisex oversized t-shirt under it.
Right. And the sleeves are kind of long.
They're
short
sleeves.
They are
long short sleeves. Yeah. They're big.
And the dress itself is also kind of dumpy.
It's bland.
And she didn't cinch it enough.
She didn't cinch it enough in the back. It did not look right. I'm really worried about Joe.
And I'm even more worried about her for what she comes up there with. The reason for the conversation.
This is pathetic.
It's sad.
This is so pathetic. She goes, Jake, my feelings are hurt.
She got hurt because when Jake came out of the water home, he went up to Amanda instead of talking to them or her. And it's like, of course he would go up to Amanda. Amanda is the relevant party in this situation.
Yeah.
Her dad was on the boat.
And they were dating.
But it's just like, even if they weren't dating, right. That would still be the person you go to first.
Right.
Why would you not? He needs to tell her this information immediately. She thinks her dad's in Mexico.
No, Joe's feelings were hurt. And I love Jake's response.
Oh, so good.
This was so satisfying. He goes, your feelings? He's like, I was on a boat that exploded.
He could have used the line, Amanda, let's compare our problems. Let's compare our problems right now.
He could have done that.
How does she go up to him with this at this moment in time is crazy to me.
And that she didn't even say, okay, you won, you're right, is like even more outrageous because she starts being combative with him.
I just can't believe she came up there with this.
She's like, don't expect me here next time one of your businesses blows up.
Such a low blow. But then I did laugh because I was like, yeah, this is the second business he's had that's blown up.
I did laugh too because I was like, oh yeah, the fire at Jake's.
I completely forgot, but I was like, damn, he does have a lot of businesses who blow up. Like,
he's going to be like investigated again by insurance.
Well, it's very funny. And I was like, the writers were probably like, shit, we need to come up with a new Jake storyline. Like,
yeah. This is going to be the last of his businesses that blows
yes.
up.
Yes.
But we are about to enter the era of the business that makes the most sense for Jake.
Right. And I do like that Jake called her out and everyone in the building out for being self-absorbed.
Oh, I love that.
Because it was like,
that.
Yeah, they are all self-absorbed. You're right, Jake.
He called them all out and she storms off.
And there's nothing like figuring that out when you literally are in the water for 3 days and you come back and everyone's talking about their issues.
Mm.
Like, he's like, shit, it's true. They all are self-absorbed.
Except for Matt. He's the one person.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, he's always reliable.
Michael shows up at Jane Mancini Designs in a suit with a little file. And he's like,
hey guys, I've been going, he's like, I've been going over the books. I'm real creative with your accountant here.
Yeah.
This business is going to make me a lot of money.
And Jane's like, Michael, why would you care about the business when you're out of it? And he's like,
oh, you didn't tell her, Sid, did you?
Sydney's like, oh, yeah. She always does that thing where she tries to hide.
Yeah. And Jane is like, Sydney, how could you?
It's like, how could she not, Jane? How did you not see this coming a mile away? Like,
it's so stupid.
She can't not do it.
At D&D, Allison and Billy are talking about the Johnson LaRue account.
I love when they talk about accounts. I'm like, who the hell's Johnson LaRue? It's always like the biggest thing in the world, too. It's like, not the Johnson LaRue account. Johnson LaRue?
What even is that business?
I have no idea.
When Elizabeth shows up and starts like eavesdropping on the conversation, and Allison sighs and like audibly is like rolls her eyes, like, and she's like, she reluctantly continues talking. But then she's like, Elizabeth, can you get the personnel file for this account, please?
Yeah, she's given her assistant work.
And then she says to Billy, do you know how inappropriate it is for you to include Elizabeth in our strategy discussions? And Billy's like, you know, Allison, she's very sharp.
Also, it's like, shut up, nerd. Sorry, like, I get there are some inappropriate things here, but that just seems like mean at this point. Because it's like, who gives a shit? Let her in. Let her learn.
This little bimbo.
Yeah.
That's what she said. Then Allison finally lets, she's like, well, someone from the office asked me out.
And he's in Canada. Like, it's just like, really, Allison?
No one asked you out.
This should have been day one, first of all, that you pretended you were dating someone. Why? You can't drop it now. No one's going to believe you.
And not told Billy you were dating someone, showed him you were dating someone.
Yes, she's so embarrassing. Joe probably told her to do this.
They give each other the worst advice. Billy's like, oh, Elizabeth saw, he points to a picture on Allison's desk of her and Billy.
I cringed.
This was so off. Just another blow.
Why
to
does
Allison.
She have that still up though?
She's like, Elizabeth saw this picture of us on your desk and it makes her uncomfortable. So could you please put it away?
What he should have said is, it makes everyone in the office uncomfortable.
See, that's what Amanda would have said.
Amanda would have made it way funnier, but everyone in the office is incredibly uncomfortable that this picture is still up, Allison. It's making us all cringe.
Yeah.
We can't focus on work.
Amanda would have destroyed Allison with that, but Billy was...
Billy's was too, like...
Personal.
Personal. It like was too Allison. Personal. Yeah, Amanda would have literally torn it, would have destroyed her. And I like that. I want that.
That night, Jake goes to Matt's
to ask
for a favor.
This is who you go to when you want something that no one else will find out about, too, I think.
Yeah. And he gives the key. He gives his keys. He's like, can you give these to Amanda? I'm leaving. And he's like, where are you going? And he's like, I don't know. And then he gets on his bike, revs it up. We hear some searing guitar music, and he just takes off.
He takes off into the night air or whatever.
Classic Jake move, thinking with his emotion. Like, this is, you're not being logical here, Jake. You're leaving. Where are you going to go? You're not going to get a better apartment for a better price than the one you have now.
Well, you would never give up this apartment in L.A. Come on.
Ever.
Not, this is one of the least believable things that's ever been on the show.
No, this is... crazy.
I just love that poor Matt, that's like his, they give him this little scene. They're like, yeah, just like, give him the keys to Matt.
And they
he
also,
hasn't been in that much.
They also give him Michael's homophobic moment. Yeah. They give him that.
Let's just be mean to him in a really bad way.
Yeah.
And also let him just have this little moment.
Yeah.
Even though him and Jake hardly have any scenes ever.
Right.
Together.
But pawn it off, pawn this job off on Matt.
I like too that I also found it a little hard to believe that Matt wouldn't interrogate this more. Because Matt is a little, he is nosy. Because Matt has some tendencies to be a little nosy.
But he's nosy for good reasons.
I agree. But that's why I feel like this would have been a moment Jake, Matt would have maybe said, what's going on? Are you okay?
Like, yeah.
I mean, trying to get some tea.
He did try to get Jake to come inside and sit down.
That's true. He did try. And he did try.
And Jake was like, I gotta go. I gotta just go.
I also love having Jake in for tea. It's like, Matt, read the room.
Yeah. Anyway, we will be back next week with episode 6, possibly episode 7.
Yeah, I'm excited. Things are heating up. I saw a preview and it's just Jake was riding on his motorcycle.
That was the preview.
Still driving.
He's still riding?
It might have been the start of next week because you know how you don't turn it off in time and it starts playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It might have been Jake still driving on his motor. I was like, wow, he's still driving.
Where's he going?
He's probably going to the desert. They always go to the desert.
They do.
Yeah.
He's not going to the beach.
Because it's like small. It seems small town.
Yeah.
When you go to the desert.
It's desolate.
Yeah. So it seems like he's somewhere else, right? Not a beach town. No one gives a shit.
No, he's going. He's not riding south to Redondo.
No, he's going inland.
Yeah. He's going to do some thinking. You can do some thinking in the desert.
Yeah, poor Jake. He's hardly recovered from the trauma of being in the water that long. That had to be scary.
He hasn't had any medical treatment.
He needs some therapy.
He needs therapy and he needs to go to a doctor.
No, he probably has really bad PTSD because I would be freaking out if I was in the water that long. I don't know how you last.
How do you even get in a shower
can physically survive it? That must have been where you would be mentally unwell
forever.
But especially initially, you'd be like, oh, I felt something. Like you would be like,
you wouldn't be able to get in the shower.
No, I would be losing it. I would be broken.
I'd be inconsolable.
No, I would not be well for a very long time after
that. He needs to be sedated.
No, he just walked on in. Hey guys.
Hey guys.
I want to talk right now.
Yeah.
I was like, how are you standing?
Right.
I'd be sobbing in my bed for weeks.
I wouldn't leave the house.
I would be so fucking traumatized by that. That's like my nightmare.
Oh, me too.
Because how many times in that period did Jake say to himself, I'm just going to let go. Probably a lot, right?
Probably a lot.
Because it's like, what am I holding on for? No one's going to ever find me. Like, you must go through it in that situation.
Just the range of emotions. This is something this needed to be treated.
No, but, you know, we're through it already. That's the soap opera way. Mm. We move forward, unless it's part of a good storyline.
Right.
And clearly the writers are like, we're done with Palmer Woodward.
Right.
Like, let's move on.
We're done with the Marina.
Yeah.
Marina Del Rey, we're done.
I love how they just blow things up.
I love it. Belle.
Just like
foreshadowing.
When we're done with something, we're done.
We're done.
Goodbye. Okay, we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.